Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Movie Talk with Vince. I'm Vince, and I'm going to talk about the movies, my favorite subject. And we're going to talk this week a little bit about James Bond and also about the Mudcastle Film Festival with Kevin Smith here in beautiful Red Bank, New Jersey. And maybe whatever else I feel like talking about. So that's right. Tonight, James Bond, Kevin Smith, Mudcastle Film Fest, and me, Vince, talking about the movie. Let's get this started. Breaking on the wall. Let's get it together. Movie Talk with Vince, that's me. And a couple of disclaimers really quick at the top of my show. First of all, if you'd like to join in the chat, you feel brave enough, you want to talk about Kevin Smith, and maybe you went to the film festival this weekend, or you read about it and you were interested to hear more about it, you can always call in. Or if you want to talk about James Bond, tonight I want to talk about the different Bonds and how I feel about each one, who I would love to see take on the role. But if you want to call in, the call-in number is, as always, 914-205-5404. Once again, without stumbling, 914-205-5404. That's right, the guest call-in number. If you're here on Blog Talking Bible, just leave there. I don't even need to read it out. But 914-205-5404. Call in, join in the chat, have some fun. Also, warning, you're going to hear opinions, especially mine. So if you're afraid to hear about how some people feel about things, well, then maybe you're in the wrong planet. But you're going to hear me talk about things, so be warned. I might not agree with you, and you may not agree with me. And guess what? That's the way it should be. I hope you disagree with me. I hope you tell me how full of, there's a word, and you're full of it, as James Bond would say. And hopefully you can tell me why you would disagree with me. Well, maybe tell me why you agree with me. Whatever. So there you go. Opinions. And also beware, I'm going to be talking about movies. If you haven't seen the movies I'm talking about, beware, I might give away certain plot points. Spoiler alert, you might be hearing things about the movies that you're like, oh, I didn't want to know that. Well, too bad. Now you do. I'm going to try not to ruin the endings for any of the movies that I've seen, but if it's a movie that's been out for more than, say, a couple of years, I'm going to assume you've seen it. And if you haven't seen it, then what are you waiting for? Go see it. And as always, as I always like to say, don't take my word for it. Please, go to this Mudcastle Film Festival, or don't. Or go see these movies that I'm talking about, or don't. But don't take my word for it. I'm not the be-all, end-all guy who knows everything. I'm just a guy who has an opinion. So go check out the movies. Tell me if you agree with me. Tell me if you would disagree with me. Whatever. But go check it out. I might be talking bad about a movie that's your favorite film of all time. So anyway, so that's me. That's Vince. Let's go to the movie. Talking here about James Bond. All right, so last week I started my talk about Bond, and I got through the 80s, and I won't go through each film since then, because there's been so many. So I just want to talk basically just a recap of my feelings of the past Bond and who I would love to see coming up in the future. So starting off with Sean, the first true James Bond. There was a Bond before him for TV, but Sean was the first British Secret Service agent James Bond in Dr. No through You Only Live Twice. Took a break, came back for Diamonds Are Forever, took a longer break, came back for Never Seen Ever Again, and then took a full-on break forever, and now sadly he's gone, and we miss him terribly. And the thing that I loved about Sean Connery's Bond was that he was more of a blunt instrument Bond. He was a guy who exuded coolness. He still got that tuxedo like nobody else could. He was the coolest man around. He was definitely the actor, the man that every woman wanted to be with and every man wanted to be. And no man would want to cross. You would never want to cross James Bond because he defeated everybody. He defeated Dr. No. He defeated Blofeld. He defeated them all. And he out with his wits, with his gadgets, with everything. And he had every woman around. If there was a woman in the room, you could pretty much guarantee that she was going to end up in bed with James Bond, especially Sean Connery's Bond. And he was also exuded the type of – he was the type of Bond that I think that women wanted to tame. He was that type of Bond. And then came – then when he left the role, George Lazenby came in. And the problem with George was that he was a model. He wasn't really an actor. He was a good-looking guy. He was a model from Australia. He had to learn to put on a British accent, but his Scottish accent was – his Australian accent was fine. And he did an okay job for somebody who wasn't an actor. And I felt that he was just getting started, but unfortunately left the role after only one movie because he figured it's the end of the 60s. No one's going to be wanting to watch Bond films anymore, right? Wrong. But anyway, he left the role way too soon, and I feel if he had given it more of a shot, he might have been pretty good, but he didn't. And so his film is probably one of the best films, kind of uneven because of you got a new Bond in there, and he's the entire time probably going, who the hell is this guy? But it's a good movie. It has the best ending of any of the Bond films, and it's one that they keep referring to in other ones because of its power. And so I feel like, but he was and his type. His Bond was a very different Bond. He was much more of a handsome man, tried to play more as an English gentleman, a little more with the quips, a little more with the snide jokes. But he still tried to be a tough guy, and it was fine. He wasn't as good as Sean, but then again, nobody could be. And then when he left, Sean came back briefly and then was replaced by Roger Moore. Now, for me, I grew up with Roger Moore's James Bond, so he will always be my Bond. But he was a very different type of Bond. He played James Bond more as a sophisticated English gentleman. And whereas Sean Connery was a brute force, if you're going to compare him to, say, like the Avengers, Sean Connery was Iron Man, whereas Roger Moore was Captain America. Roger had much more charm. He wasn't necessarily Mr. Cool, but he was definitely Mr. Funny. He also could be messed with, but he wasn't as much of a blunt instrument as Sean Connery was. And you kind of felt that Roger needed the gadgets more. He could best you in a fight. But he was more clever about it, whereas Sean was more about power. Roger was more, and it was more like the Bugs Bunny. He was, a little more clever in his in what he had to do and in the way he had to defeat the villain, and less about just punching him out. And so he played Bond very differently, and I loved his portrayal, and in many ways closer to what Ian Fleming had envisioned for the character when he wrote it in the book. But then after about seven movies, Roger had something because he did it for seven movies, more than anybody else. Sean would eventually do seven films as well, but he took a break. He only did five and then one more, and then after 10 years, another one more, finally coming up to seven. Roger did seven straight through, no breaks, straight through. So you got to give him credit for that, and I certainly do. But then once he decided, look, I'm getting way too old for this role, his co-stars were now young enough to be his children. I can't be making out with a woman who's 30 years younger than me. This is just insane. I'm like her grandfather. This is nuts. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. He was realizing Sean left the role because he was starting to feel a little old, and Roger was older than Sean. So he's like, yeah, I'm too old for this. He wanted to retire at 80, but they needed him to keep going for two more movies. So by 85, he's like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Please find somebody else. And they did. Young actor by the name of Timothy Dalton, British actor, wonderful actor. And he basically tried to combine more of what with a little bit of Roger, but got rid of the quips. He wasn't a jokey man, whereas Roger always was. And Timothy's portrayal was much more in line with what Sean had done because with Timothy Dalton's portrayal, he was much tougher. he was more of an action guy, but also had the thinking of, he was also a thinking man's action guy. So he would punch you out, but he also could outthink you, which is something that Sean was more about a brute force. Roger was kind of he will charm the pants off of you, but Timothy Dalton was more like he was a thinking man's James Bond. He could outthink you, and that's how he would defeat you. So I love Timothy Dalton's portrayal, but like George Lazenby, he only did two films. And it's a shame, too, and it's because of the situation. He did two, but at the time, now the James Bond franchise is now about 20 years old. People are starting to think, maybe time to retire the character. And he was even starting to think maybe the character has seen better days. And after the second film, they had every intention of making a third, and he was all signed to do a third, but legal issues happened. The production company, Eon Productions, that did the James Bond films, had to put a hold on the third film. It took about 5 or 6 years. By that point, Tim was like, I can't wait around any longer, so he left, and they had to find a new actor. Now, the actor they found was someone that they wanted to replace Roger in the first place, but couldn't because he was busy making a TV show, and that was Pierce Brosnan. Now, for the non-Roger Moore Bonds, Pierce is my second favorite, or my first favorite, who's not Roger Moore. Don't get me wrong, Sean was the first, and Sean is arguably the best, but the way that Pierce played it was Pierce was a great dramatic actor who is also very, very funny, and very much like what Roger did, but he could be funny, but he also could be highly dramatic, more so than Roger ever could. So he basically took what Roger was doing and took it to the next level. So I love Pierce. I think that in many ways he is the quintessential Bond for me. Roger is my personal favorite because I grew up with watching his films, and it was his character that I was introduced to as Bond. But Pierce really did embody everything that was great about Bond. His films weren't always that great, but GoldenEye and The World Is Not Enough, to me, are two of my favorite Bond films because they're dramatic and they have a lot of great stuff going. Die Another Day, the last one he did, got a little bit too goofy, tried to go turn Bond more into a comic book character and a superhero than the grounded in reality super spy that he had originally was. And that's fine. And so Die Another Day is a lot of fun, but it's the one you have to put your brain on hold the most because so many things are in that film, like a house made out of ice. But you're like, okay, this is getting a bit goofy now. I don't really see that being in any way, shape, or form realistic. But anyway, it's a lot of fun to be able to do Casino Royale, and that's when they decided, okay, we need a younger actor to play Bond. Pierce was starting to age out anyway, so I thought, okay, might as well go with somebody new. And Pierce was like, I don't. Do I have a choice? Like, no, you don't. And so Pierce was let go, and they brought in Dan Craig. And Dan Craig brought, I love Dan because he brought Bond into the 21st century. His Bond, they got rid of the goofiness. No longer were they fighting villains with satellites in the sky that were creating ice palaces. No, this was a guy who was set absolutely 1,000% in reality. Everything, except the fact he just wouldn't die, was pretty much realistic. And it was very much a dramatic action film, and they upped the action, upped the drama, downplayed the gadgets, downplayed the sex, and created a Bond for the 21st century. Now, my only negative about the Dan Craig movies, and he did five of them, my only negative is that I miss some of the goofiness. I miss some of the outlandishness of the Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan, and Sean Connery films. I miss them. I admit. He kind of turned the Bond franchise into something that the 21st century kids could believe in and watch and love. But, to me, I'm like, but for me, somebody who grew up with the old ones, I kind of miss some of that stuff. So that's why, for me, now that Dan is done, and I loved his movies, don't get me wrong, thought they were great, and I thought he did a great job with them, I'm looking forward to the next James Bond. And that's why I hope that they keep it going and don't ever stop. There's absolutely no reason to. Bond is just a perfect hero for the 21st century, so we have to keep it going. And I know that they've been talking a lot about different actors. Idris Elba was somebody, but he's just too old. I love Idris, and he would be the first non-white guy to play James Bond, and I would love it. Personally, I'm like most people who've said, yes, get Idris. I would say definitely get Idris. He'd be awesome. My only problem is that Idris is my age. I think he's in his 50s. Might even be older than that. And so it's like, how many films are you going to get out of him? Like Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson would be great, but you would have had to cast Liam Neeson, to me, at least 10 or 20 years ago. He's now too old to play the part. So I know they talked about Henry Cavill. He would be great, but he's now supposedly signed on to play Superman again. And he's got that character. So I really, for me, honestly, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I personally think they should forego doing a well-known actor. Don't go with somebody that we already know. Go with somebody like they did with either Sean Connery was unknown when they put him in. Roger Moore was well-known, but George Lazenby was completely unknown. Timothy Dalton had done some stuff, but he wasn't a big-name Hollywood movie star. Pierce Brosnan was. Well, maybe not a movie star, but he was certainly popular. So he was definitely well known. But Dan Craig, for the most part, especially in America, wasn't a household name. I don't even remember seeing any of his movies before he did Bond. So I think they should do that. Find somebody who hasn't played Superman or whatever. Somebody who is hungry for the role and would be happy to sign on to do another 4 or 5 movies. And has to be British, Irish, or Scottish, or even Australian, but definitely someone from the UK or one of their territories, like Australia. But definitely someone from there. They had no Americans. Bond is a Brit, and let's leave him at that. You know, don't take that away from him, and keep him a man. It's part of his charm. It's what he is. He's a man. He's a British man. He's a British gentleman. Keep him at that. They don't need to rechange the character much. But find somebody new. I would love for somebody, because there's so many great actors out there who could probably play him who aren't already playing Superman. So give them to somebody new who we haven't seen very much. Kind of like what they do with Doctor Who over in England. Most of the Doctor Who actors aren't well known outside of the United Kingdom. So I said give it to us, maybe not one of the Doctor Who people, but find somebody new because they can do it. Anyway, so that wraps up my talk here about James Bond, and I want to now do the rest of my show talking a little bit about this great film festival that is ongoing right now. As I'm doing the show, the film festival is going on right now in beautiful Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, and that is the Smodcastle Film Festival, hosted by the one and only Kevin Smith, Silent Bob of Jay and Silent Bob, and the writer-director of such great films as Clerks, Clerks 2, and Clerks 3, ooh, wow, who knew? Dogma, Chasing Amy, Mallrats, Hook, and whatever. Zack and Miri, Make a Porno, so many other great movies. He hasn't won any Academy Awards yet, but hey, just shows you how small-minded the Academy Awards is, because damn, the guy has made some damn good movies, especially Clerks 3. Dark Clerks 3 was excellent. Love to see that. His script get nominated for Best Picture. Love to even see Brian O'Halloran nominated, but I doubt he will. Just because it's Hollywood. He's not part of the Hollywood elite, shall we say. But whatever. Just my opinion. Anyway, so the film festival. So if you don't know what the Smodcastle Film Festival is, basically Kevin filmed this movie back in 1993 at this little quick stop in Atlantic at Leonardo, New Jersey. Years later, he's a big-time movie director now, he bought London by the Smodcastle, but he bought the video store next door and created his own little theater in there. It's a 50-seat theater, not big, and thought, hey, maybe we should do a film festival here. And his buddy Ernie was like, yeah, we should. So they put out – so Ernie runs the film festival. It's not really Kevin. He hosts it and puts his name on it so the people will be interested, because most people don't know who the hell Ernie O'Donnell is. So Ernie runs it, and – they put this thing out for films. I submitted a film that my friend had written, and I got the crew together to direct it and star in it, and the actors. So I worked behind the scenes on it. And it came out pretty good, I like to think. But anyway, so we submitted her film to it, and everybody else submitted their film. And next thing you know, Kevin's like, shoot, I can't do it here. I got too many films. So now he bought the local movie theater where he grew up, just down the street in Atlantic Highlands, the theater that he used to go to as a kid to watch movies, And now he owns that theater and changed it to the Smog Castle Theater. And he's now doing a Smog Castle Film Festival starting on Wednesday this week, going all the way through to Sunday, I believe, and showing about 100 different movies, shorts, long players, whatever. The first night I went to the opening night, I saw two blocks of films. The first was a short pilot, which was very good, starred Jason Mewes, Jay of Jay and Silent Bob. And I thought it was funny. The basic premise is that Jay plays a guy named Mike who has died. He's now in purgatory. And according to this film, purgatory is an office, kind of like the movie, kind of like the TV show, The Office. And he now has to basically make his, make amends for his shortcomings in life. And so he meets up with St. Peter, who's basically like HR, but sitting behind the desk. And it's a funny premise. And it was a funny little thing. It was all about 20 minutes long. And I thought it was good. And if it ever does get picked up as a series, I've seen a lot worse. And I've seen a lot better, but I've seen a hell of a lot worse that have lasted not just past the pilot, but have lasted for years and years and years. And you might be going, how does the show keep getting renewed? Well, if Jason's show gets picked up, I'd say, check it out. With fingers crossed to the Despicables. And it was very good. And then that was followed by a long film written and directed by a couple of people who usually do documentaries for Kevin. And Kevin was in this one. And it was called Wrong Reasons. And it was very good. It was very much a low-budget film, but still pretty good. The basic premise is this punk rock girl who is dating this much more famous punk rock musician. One day they are sitting in front of the TV, passed out on drugs, when this guy kidnaps the girl, and it turns out he's a fan, and he basically wants to detox her and wants her to soar past being just the arm candy of her more famous boyfriend. He feels that she's the one who's got the talent. Anyway, so it was a very good story. It had the whole subplot about the detective, which I thought didn't really work as well as it probably could have, but overall, I thought it was a decent film. So if you ever get a chance to see Wrong Reasons, if it comes around somewhere, it'll probably pick up a following, and it deserves it. It was very good. It was a lot of fun. Then that was followed up by the second block I saw was another film. This one starred Ernie O'Donnell. He played a recovering alcoholic whose wife gets killed in a car accident in the beginning of the film, so I'm not bringing any spoilers to it, which causes him to fall off the wagon and become a worse alcoholic than he ever was. He has a preteen son, or like a 13-year-old kid, who now is suffering himself, having lost his mother, and watching his father basically die in front of his eyes. So it's a very interesting story. I'm not going to tell you how it ends or anything about that nature, but I will say Ernie was very good in it. I don't think any other Kevin Smith people were in it. But Siobhan Fallon, formerly of Saturday Night Live, she was also in it, and she has a great part. And it was a fun movie. It was very good. I recommend Wasted Blind, what it was called, directed by local Jersey boy Tory Burbank. Then the last film was a film directed by Kevin Smith, which he put out only as an NFT, I believe is what it's called. Don't ask me what an NFT is. I have no idea, no clue whatsoever. Supposedly, an NFT are these coins that you buy, and if you buy it, you're basically buying ownership of the film. It's like basically like buying stocks. You're buying stock in the film. So you buy this coin or whatever, this NFT, you own a piece of the film. So I guess then you can watch it or something. I don't know. I don't get it. It really confuses me. If there's any of you out there who know what that is, or have gotten into NFTs, great. Please explain it to me, because I don't get it. I don't know what it is at all. But supposedly the film is impossible to see unless you buy one of these NFTs. And I don't even know how you would buy the NFT. Maybe there's probably a website out there that explains it better than I ever could. But anyway, the film that he did as an NFT is called Kilroy Was Here. And it's Kilroy with two L's. Emphasis Kilroy. And it's basically based on the Kilroy graffiti, which popped up around World War II, which is basically a straight line of this man with a really weird no hair, bald head, and a really weird round nose that dangles over this wall, and his hands are on the other side. So it looks like this guy, with this like weird mutant-looking guy, who is supposedly Kilroy, and people would draw this and say, Kilroy was here. And it, of course, eventually spawned influenced Dennis DeYoung of Six to create the Kilroy Was Here album by Six. Well, Kevin thought this graffiti was always kind of funny, decided to write a horror movie about it. And this film was very cool. Oh, it was a my favorite of the films I saw that night, Christmas Mike, it was directed by Kevin. And it's a horror anthology where it's very much like, if you guys have ever seen something like the Twilight Zone movie, or there's another movie called Trick or Treat, Trick or Treat. And it's basically where you have a wraparound story, and then, so the story starts off with Harley Quinn Smith, Kevin Smith's daughter, is a babysitter, and she tells her, the kid that she's babysitting, about this character named Kilroy, and that if you say his name three times, he will come and he will kill. It's basically Candyman, or Beetlejuice, where if you say the name three times, boom, they appear, and you don't want them to do that. And she tells four stories of times when somebody said the name Kilroy and it didn't go very well. And then at the end, well, I won't tell you how it ends, but at the end, we get to the end of our wraparound, we go back to Harley Quinn and the babysitter, and Kilroy comes there, and, well, I'm not going to tell you anything else. But it was very cool because it's impossible to find. Kevin has never released it as a DVD or a Blu-ray. You can't find it online, and as far as I know. But it was cool to be able to watch it on the big screen. Even Kevin, who was there introducing everything, he even said this was the first time he'd actually showed Kilroy on his big screen. So he was very excited to see an audience's reaction to it. He's never seen an audience react to this film. And we ate it up. My friend and I, who went to go see it together, he was like, oh, my God. Didn't see that coming. That was very cool. It's a lot of fun. If you've ever seen, like I said, if you've ever seen a movie called Trick or Treat, which I recommend, it's very much like that. It's an anthology where it's got four different stories and a fifth telling you the other two stories. So it's a lot of fun. So anyway, that was my experiences at the Smodcastle Film Festival. And I know that the way that they're doing it is in the theater, each theater has its own block of films, and they all overlap. They're all going on at the same time. So you can only go to one set, which is a shame, because I would love to see what the other ones are doing. Supposedly Siobhan Fallon, who is local to New Jersey, and I said, also famous for being on SNL back in the 90s, I think for only one season, but I remember her on SNL. I thought she was great. I don't even know why she left. Lauren probably was like, you are great, so you're fired. Whatever. I don't know why she was gone, but she was. Anyway, so she's, like I said, she was in the one film that I saw, but she also had her own film, which I think she starred in, playing there, which I didn't get a chance to see, and that was all sold out. And other films, were being shown that night, which I couldn't get a chance to see. But the ones I saw were very good. And I got to see Kevin's movie, which is the real reason why I went. But overall, it was a lot of fun, and I know that it's going on last night. I didn't get a chance to go last night. I couldn't go tonight, but I'm here talking to you. And next week and tomorrow, I'm probably going to be going to a Freehold Film Festival, which I will talk about next week, and to see some more local short films being broadcast at the Center Players in Freehold, New Jersey. So if you are local to New Jersey and you're familiar with Atlantic Highlands, then go check out the Smodcastle Film Festival. And, or if you're local and you'd rather go to something a little bit smaller, you want to go to Freehold, New Jersey, and you don't want to go to the shore, go check out the Center Players Film Festival going on. It's going on only one night, tomorrow night, Saturday, so check it out. Anyway, my show's about over, so I'm going to have to say goodnight, and thank you all for listening, and check out the movies. And remember, like they always say, don't take my word for it. Go check them out. If you can get a chance to see Kilroy Was Here, directed by Kevin Smith, tell me what you thought, or any other films, or if you're going to the film festival, check it out. Anyway, I'll talk to everybody next week. I'll probably be talking about the film festival at Freehold, and who knows? Whatever I'm going to be talking about, it's going to involve the movies. So everybody, have a great night, have a great weekend, and we'll talk again at the movies with me, Movie Talk Miss. Good night.